The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What is the definition and nature of saving faith? Is faith a decision, or is it something else? Also today, if a single person commits adultery, are they eligible biblically to get married? An interesting biblical discussion today on Grace in Focus. Welcome, friend. This is the radio broadcast and podcasting ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Join us on our website to find out more about us, faithalone.org, and you can read one or many of our hundreds of articles we have there about the free grace position. You can also leave us feedback. We love it when you do. The site, again, is faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Hi, Bob. Looks like we have actually not really a question, but a statement from Mary today.
Okay.
She says, you are wrong.
Okay, that's a good way to start. I've had a lot of people tell me I'm wrong. Yeah.
We do decide to believe and do pray to accept the gift of grace provided through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and subsequent resurrection. If you don't believe this, then I will pray for your correction from the Father.
All right, well, let me say, Mary, I don't consider this as big of an issue as a lot of other things we discuss on here. For example, we discuss the nature of what faith is. When people argue that it's not persuasion, but it's something else. Now, Mary's question might suggest that there's some kind of willful component to faith. So It could be a little issue, but it sounds like what she's saying is that a person has to be willing to believe or open to believe. Do you think she's saying that belief itself is a decision?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, it could be interpreted like you decide to investigate to be open, or do you decide to believe? But I think it's possible that it could be a decision to believe, because that's how it's more commonly used. I don't hear people really saying that you decide to be open to investigate.
Well, here's the thing. When people say you've got to turn from your sins, you've got to commit your life to Christ, you've got to surrender to Christ, those things are just straight up contradictions to John 3:16 or over 100 faith alone verses. What Mary's asking here is a little bit different, but it can be problematic because it can lead people to say, if belief is a choice, then what are we talking about? In other words, is belief simply being persuaded that Jesus guarantees everlasting life to those who believe in him? Or is belief some sort of commitment, some sort of surrender, some sort of obedience, some sort of first step in following Christ? And Mary doesn't say any of those things, right. So I'm not sure. But in my view, maybe, let me give Mary credit and say maybe what she's thinking of are verses like John 5:39 and 40, where Jesus says to legalistic Jews, you search the scriptures, Old Testament, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. According to Jesus there, a willingness to believe in him is something which, at least for some people, if not for all, is necessary to come to faith. Is that what Mary means, that we need to be willing? In that sense, I would agree. But let's say, for example, that you went to school, and when you were in school, you learned about algebraic equations. You come up with some equation, and you learn that, okay, I'm now convinced that's true. Well, you had to be willing to go to school and willing to sit there and listen or read a book that talks about it and then think about it until it made sense, right?
Right.
So in that sense, there was a certain willingness. But once you saw it, 2x plus y equals 9.
Yeah.
Y equals 3.
Right.
So what is x? Well, x is also 3 because 2 times 3 is 6, plus 3 is 9, something like that. So my example's a bad one because they're not going to make X and Y the same thing.
Yeah.
But in any regard, whenever we believe anything, it's because we're convinced it's true. But it's not a choice. You don't say, oh, I choose to believe that's true.
Yeah.
I see it's true.
Yeah.
I don't choose to believe 2 plus 2 is 4.
Right.
I don't choose to believe that the president of the United States is Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced it's true.
Yeah.
It's not. I can't choose to believe that, let's say, Ronald Reagan is president. I might like to have Ronald Reagan president again,
yeah.
But I can't choose to believe that because it's contrary to fact. And Mary can't believe anything that's contrary to fact. She can't choose to believe something she knows is not true.
Right.
None of us believes anything until we're convinced it's true. And once we're convinced it's true, we can't unbelieve it. In other words, let's say you're convinced that Joe Biden is president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't work up convincing yourself that somebody else is president.
Right.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
So if we're open to looking into contrary evidence, maybe we will believe something different.
Yeah.
But the belief is still being persuaded.
Right. I mean, people can be open to the scriptures and hopefully be convinced that Jesus' promise is true, but then it's not the openness that is faith. Faith is still being persuaded that something is true.
Yeah. And I guess what I would say to Mary is, so why is this important to her? In other words, let's say that she thinks she chose to believe in Jesus so that she could be saved. Why is that so important? How is that different than being convinced that Jesus is the Savior and that by faith in him you're saved forever? How is that different? Unless she's saying somehow that there's some level of willful commitment involved. Mm-hmm. Some people talk about a commitment to the claims of Christ, that saving faith involves commitment, or sometimes they say it involves trust in Christ. You ever heard that one?
Right.
They say believing is not enough. You've also got to trust.
Yeah, you need that extra step.
I don't hear her saying that either.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure what Mary is saying, but I appreciate the question. And what I would say, Mary, is yes, there are verses that say that an unwillingness to believe can hinder us from believing. Another example would be Matthew 23, 37 to 39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen would gather chicks, but you were not willing. I discuss these verses in my book, Is Calvinism Biblical? And I go through 12 passages that show that Calvinism is not biblical. One of them is this Calvinist idea that God gives faith as a gift and just imposes it on us. No, he doesn't do that. We need to be willing or open to believe.
People have the ability to believe. You know, it's not that way Calvinism likes to say that you can't even believe. God has to even give that to you.
Well, in fact, according to the total depravity, you have to be born again first. Then you're able to, well, even then you can't believe. According to them, once you're born again, then God gives you the gift of faith. It's not you believe and then you're born again. It's you're born again and then you believe. Or actually, according to Calvinism, you're born again and then God believes for you.
Right. Yeah. And ultimately, I guess in that sense, they end up confusing what believe actually means. It's like, well, God doesn't just give you the belief that it's true. God's going to give you all these things that are part of, you know, they throw everything into the kitchen sink of what belief means now, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's done not just by Calvinists, but a lot of Arminians do that too. They say, well, saving faith includes commitment and obedience and perseverance and that sort of thing. All right, Mike, I have a question here. And the question here is an anonymous one. And the person wants to know if a born-again person has had sexual relations before marriage, are they allowed then to, assuming they've confessed it and turned from it, are they allowed to then marry? And he gives examples of this person is pretty concerned about whether this was a married woman, let's say the married woman who was actually a believer.
Yeah.
or whether this was a divorced woman who was a believer, or they also have another concern about a Catholic woman who is divorced. And the response I would give to Anonymous is, look, according to Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32, there is an exception that allows for divorce and remarriage. Yeah. That is, if you marry someone, you're required to stay married to them your whole life, except in the case of porneia, and porneia refers to sexual immorality, which would include adultery, premarital sex, homosexuality, it would include incest, it would include any sexual sin outside of marriage. So what you're describing here is not a married man who is having sex outside of marriage and then his spouse could divorce him if she wanted to.
Right.
It's not a requirement. It just allows it.
Yeah.
You're asking the question, what about a single person who's committing adultery with a married woman?
Hmm.
And the answer is that's a terrible sin.
Yeah.
But we don't live under the law of Moses, so the penalty is not death.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you confess that and deal with the consequences, which there might be some serious consequences. I mean, potentially the husband could sue you, or the husband could, you know, there have been cases where the husband comes after you or something. But if you deal with the consequences and you confess the sin, yes, you're entitled to marry because you've not... Some sexual sin prior to marriage doesn't mean you're forbidden from marrying.
That makes sense. I mean, I guess you could almost say that no one goes into marriage without any sin ever, right?
Right, right. But, of course, sexual sins are different in the sense that they're sins against the body. I guess the lone exception I would make is, I remember when AIDS was really rampant, the question came up at our church, and Zane Hodges said, if you found out that your spouse had been unfaithful, you should have them tested for AIDS and not get together for at least 6 months, because it takes about 6 months to be sure if the person has HIV. And it would seem to me, you know, if you were in a situation like this, the person shouldn't marry until they've been tested for sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV.
Yeah, that's just showing love for their future spouse.
Right. And I believe that's required to get a marriage license, isn't it? I mean, you have to do a blood test.
Yeah, but I don't think they test you for
the venereal diseases.
I don't recall having that done,
Okay,
yeah.
I guess not. So
yeah.
I'm going to add
and
this.
And then that's still like 25 years ago. I don't know what the standards are today.
Yeah, well, for me, 48 years ago. Yeah. All right, well, thanks so much, both Mary and also Anonymous. And remember, let's all keep grace
in focus.
Amen.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On our next episode, the 2024 GES National Conference in Review. Please join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.